try a new experiment. Okay, for a derech halimud, and that is to learn the Rambam, because what I find over and over again is that perhaps the greatest tool for a derech halimud is the Rambam. Now, again, when I say the Rambam, we could have chosen from hundreds of different sections of the Rambam. The Rambam is broken up into 14 books. Each book is broken up into an average, I would say, of 5 subcategories, and each chapter in the Rambam has many different subcategories, maybe an average of 15. But I chose the first perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah, and in the past I put in a lot of effort into trying to use the Derech HaLimud and precise definitions in order to understand the Rambam. And I decided to choose the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah. Now, what, as an introduction, and you guys will have to tell me whether you enjoy this, and then we'll decide if we want to continue with this. So this is an experiment of sorts. I would like to understand why the Rambam uses the title Hilchos Talmud Torah. I would like to suggest what I would think intuitively would be a more appropriate title, and that's Hilchos Limud HaTorah. The mitzvah is Limud HaTorah. What does the word Talmud Torah mean? Did you ever stop and think about that? But leaving that on the side, why does the Rambam call it Hilchos Talmud Torah instead of Hilchos Limud Torah, the laws of studying the Torah? I want to ask a bunch of questions, if you open up the Rambam, as to the Seder HaLochas in the Rambam. I find that the Rambam, who is an absolute genius at organization, and the sequence in the Rambam, which HaLochas he puts first and which second, is so critical. And that's what I call the essence of the Derech HaLimud, of that, as far as the Rambam is concerned. But here, we're going to find something very strange. The Rambam has a section here at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah that's made up of 3 halachas, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. And they form a unit. And this unit is a unit about the sources in the Torah for the various dimensions of the obligation of Torah study. For example, the Rambam opens up by telling us that a father is obligated to teach his son Torah based on the pasuk "Limadtem osam es b'neichem." He goes on to tell us in the next halacha that a grandfather has to teach his grandson Torah. That's called ben b'no, and that's derived from a pasuk "Odatem levanecha v'levnei vanecha." Then he establishes an obligation to teach the son of your friend Torah, not just your children and grandchildren, but also the son of your friend. And that's based on the pasuk "Vishinantam livanecha." And finally, at the end, which is on the next page, halacha gimel, the Rambam establishes that if his father didn't teach him Torah, then he has to teach himself Torah. And he's going to even have to hire someone, if need be, to teach him Torah. Now, generally speaking, when we learn the Rambam, we notice over and over again, the Rambam is sensitive to the distinction between Deoraisas and Derabbanas. So if in the first 3 halachas, the Rambam is establishing the sources in the Bible, in the Torah itself, for all these various chiyuvim, whether it's a father to teach his son, father to teach his grandson, a person to teach Yenna's sons, this guy's son, a person to study himself Torah. If all 4 the Rambam consistently derives from a pasuk, then this unit made up of the first 3 halachas, would that be Dorais or Darabonim?
Dorais.
Obviously Dorais. And that leads me to the following questions. A whole barrage of questions. I don't get it. The Rambam is not limited to Doraisas here. For example, if you take a look in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, Chayav Liskar Malamid Libno. He has to pay a Rebbe, a teacher, to teach his son Torah. So if you take a look at the Lecha Mishnah here in Halacha Gimel, and you count down approximately four lines. Do you see where it says V'yesh l'stapek? Well, I shouldn't say four lines. I'm sorry. In Halacha Gimel, I meant to say four lines now. Do you see there?
Yesh
l'stapek im zeh shekosar rabbeinu v'chayev liskar hu midoraisa o midorabbana. And he has a whole bunch of proofs that the Rambam's requirement to pay a melamed is a rabbinic requirement. It's not doraisa. And what bothers me is, if we accept the conclusion of the Lecha Mishnah, then why does the Rambam, in the context of these first three halachos, integrate a derabbanon into a doraisa? The Rambam could have said, here are all the dinim doraisa, and now I want to tell you the dinim derabbanon. Often the Rambam says, v'chein amru chachamim, v'chein tzivu chachamim. Here there's no v'chein tzivu chachamim. Another question. If the Rambam is not distinguishing between the main doraisa chiyuv of the father to teach his son Torah and the derabbanons, namely the schar of a melamed that he has to pay a salary to a melamed, then take a look in Halacha Vav. Halacha Vav, the Rambam says, "May emasai maskil aviv lelamdo Torah." At what point in the child's development is the father obligated to teach his son Torah? And he says, Mishiyaskil Daber. What age would you say is Mishiyaskil Daber?
Two,
maybe three. You know, some kids are a little bit slower. Other kids start speaking at the age before they reach the second birthday. I don't know about Nadav Pinchas. I don't know when he started speaking. But, what?
Certainly in the second year.
Yeah, I mean, the Rambam's talking about a very young age. Now, the source for this Rambam is a Gemara of a Braisa that's in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Mem Beis, Tana Rabbanon. And I want you to answer the following question. As I read this Braisa, are we talking about a Doraisa or a Darabbanon? Listen to the Braisa. You'll find this in the third paragraph in the handout that I gave you. Tana Rabbanon, Katon Hayodel Inanea Chayav Belulov. At what age would you say a child is mature enough to shake a lulav? Let's say 5, 6, 7, I don't know. Maybe if you add nanuim here, the Rambam says lenanea, maybe he has to be a little bit older. And then it says in the same braisa that yodeh ledaber olav aviv lomdo Torah v'kriyat shma, Torah mahi, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Rabosai, are we talking about a Drabbanon or a Doraisi? This is a Drabbanon, because this is the mitzvah of Chinuch. Chinuch is a mitzvah Drabbanon. My obligation to teach my 5-year-old child how to shake a lulav is a rabbinic. And yet, the Rambam here integrates this, Me'emasai Maskil of Ledaber, into the general structure. He doesn't say, Sivu Chachamim Shemikevan Shehiskel Ledaber of Melamdo Torah. I'll give another example. Take a look in Halacha Ches. It says, "Kol ish mi Yisrael chayav b'talmud Torah." Every Jew. Now, how much Torah does he have to learn? So, fast forward to the end of Halacha Ches, and the Rambam says, "V'chayav l'kvol lo zman l'talmud Torah b'yom u'b'alayla shenemar v'gisa b'yom v'alayla." Anybody know where that pasuk is? In Yoshua. Anything I derive from Sefer Yoshua is called Midirei Kabbalah. It's not a Doraisa. So the fact that I have to be Kovei Azman on every day of the year, a little bit from the daytime, a little bit from the nighttime for Talmud Torah, that Lechora is not a Doraisa. And yet the Rambam doesn't make any distinction. Take a look at Halacha Yud Aleph for a second. The Rambam establishes what's called Shilush. What does it mean, shilush? Excellent. Divide into three. The Rambam requires that we take a day and divide into three parts. And we have to spend one-third studying Mikra, one-third studying Mishnah, one-third studying Talmud, or whatever it might be. Now, this Rambam, dividing the Torah into a daily discipline that makes up three segments, is derived from a sugyan kiddushin. And the sugya in Kiddushin has what I call an asmachta. What do I mean? Listen to the Gemara in Kiddushin. My dichsiv vishinantom levanecha al tikri vishinantom el vishilashtom. Now, last time I looked at this pasuk, it said vishinantom. It did not say vishilashtom. Would you say that that's a doraisa? That's not a doraisa. A doraisa means when the Torah obligates you to do something. Okay then? Now let's go back to the Seder halachas, because again, I think this is a real derech halimud. Look at the way the Rambam presents these halachas. At the beginning of Perek Aleph, he starts with the obligation of a father to teach his son Torah and also to teach his grandson Torah. The obligation for anyone who's capable, he has the chachma, to teach all the Talmidim Torah, whether they're related to him or not. And then the Rambam compares these obligations and he puts them into a hierarchy, a system of what I call priority, which is called Dine Kedima. Okay, that's what the Rambam does. You know, you have if you have two children in front of you, one is not related to you, the other is your son, then to whom do you give priority? To your son. If you have your son and your grandson and you can't teach both of them simultaneously, they're on different levels, to whom should you direct your attention? To your son. And then the Rambam tells you in Halacha Gimel, Mishal Olindo Aviv Chayv Lamed Es Atzmo. Now, I don't get it. Which comes first? Just sequentially or chronologically? For somebody to study himself or for somebody to teach others? Which comes first?
Study yourself.
Study yourself. You can't teach others until you study yourself. And only after the Rambam established A, your obligation to teach your son, B, your obligation to teach your grandson, C, your obligation to teach anyone who you could possibly teach Torah to, all of a sudden, the Rambam woke up, Boker Tov, and said that you have to learn yourself Torah. Very strange. Then, take a look at Halacha Hey. The Rambam wants to know what comes first, the mitzvah of marriage or the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? It would seem in Halacha Hey that he's already completed his discussion, his presentation about the Chiyuvei Ha'av, the obligations incumbent upon a father to teach his son. Now he tells us that, you know, which is first, Talmud Torah or Nesuei Isha. Then take a look at Halacha Zayin. All of a sudden, Halacha Zayin, the Rambam reminded himself that he has to hire a Melamed to teach his son Torah. Why didn't the Rambam combine Halacha Zayin with the first four halachas in which he establishes the obligation of the father vis-a-vis his son? In the middle, he wedges in a, you know, foreign issue, namely, what comes first, marriage or Talmud Torah? Then we have a classical kasha. All these kashas are my own, but there's one classical kasha that's in all the Mefarshim. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Torah Torah counts how many mitzvahs? Let's take a look. Yesh v'chalon shtei mitzvahs aseh. Now the second mitzvah aseh is not going to come up until the fifth parak of Talmud Torah, and that's the mitzvah of being mechabed those who study Torah. But as far as teaching Torah, the Rambam only has one single mitzvah, and that's lilmod Torah. So the Mefarshim want to know what goes on over here. If you take a look in Halacha Yud, the Rambam says, "Ad emos haychayev odem lilmod Torah, ad yom moso shenemar upen yosuru milvavcha kol yimei chayecha." Now this pasuk of pen yosuru milvavcha kol yimei chayecha teaches that a person has to review his Torah over and over again so he shouldn't forget it. Why isn't that called a lav in the Torah? Because pen yosuru milvavcha really generates an isur shichechas haTorah. You're not allowed to forget your Torah. Why did the Rambam omit that? Now the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Yud Aleph, Hatzivu Shenitzavenu Lilamed Chachmas HaTorah, I'm sorry, Lilmon Chachmas HaTorah Ula Lamda. And the Zen Nikra, the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvah, Zen Nikra Talmud Torah. Vehu Amro Vishinantam Levanech, Veloshana Sifri, Vishinantam Levanech Elu Talmidech, Kenatamots Vichomok Talmidim Kurim Bonim. Fine. Then he says, Vishinantam Levanech Shiu Mechudadim Vificha, means that if somebody asks you a question, you can answer him immediately. You don't have to hesitate and try to remind yourself of something that you learned before, because mechudalim beficha. It's like you learned it now. Kisha adam shalcha davar, says the Rambam. Somebody asks you a question. Lo tia megam game lo. You shouldn't start stuttering, but rather ata omer lo miyad. You have an absolute clarity. You know the Torah. You can convey it. This is really strange, because the Rambam has one mitzvah in Taryag for the mitzvah Talmud Torah. And yet look how many different mitzvahs he has. He has number one, Vishinantam Levanech. Then he has a pasuk that teaches him, just one second, Vishinantam Levanech. Then he has the Losa said that you're not allowed to forget your Torah. And therefore, Vishinantam means Mechudad Meficha. The Rambam has many different chiyuvim, and these chiyuvim include studying Torah and teaching Torah, and yet the Rambam has only one mitzvah for everything. Okay, so let's just sort of recap a little bit of what we've been discussing here and the questions we've been raising. First of all, what's odd about the Rambam is that he integrates Derabbanans with Doraisas. He starts by quoting four chiyuvim, and in each case of the four obligations, he essentially attributes them to a different source in the Torah, which means he's dealing with chiyuvim d'orais, and yet he integrates dinim like hiring a malamed, which the Lechem Mishnah claims is only d'rabbanon. He has the chiyuv of being kover itim bin ayom bin alaylo, which is derived from a pasuk in Tanakh. He has the shilush, which is derived from some sort of fluky kind of way out drasha, al tikri v'shinantam el v'shilashtam, and the Rambam doesn't breathe a word about the fact that these are deraisas and these are derabbanans. Something which the Rambam is always dedicated to, he's always sensitive to that. Then we found something odd about the Seder Advarim in the Rambam. The Rambam starts with the three chiyuvim to teach your son, your grandson, and his son. And then finally he wakes up and he tells us you have to learn Torah yourself. I mean, he should have started with that. And then the next question we have is that the Rambam integrated all the different various multiple, you know, dimensions of Talmud Torah into one single mitzvah. And yet, you know, in each case he derives a different element of Talmud Torah from a different pasuk, even as the Losa said, you're not allowed to forget your Torah. And it's all under one mitzvah. So what we're up to is the word v'nireh, if you have it on the second page I gave you. And here's where I want to try to break new ground. And I think this could be a real derech halimut. There are two types of mitzvahs in the Rambam. One is called a mitzvah pratis, and the other is called a mitzvah klolos. The Rambam has a mitzvah klolos, for example, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And then the Rambam says included is bikur cholim, and nicham avelim, and achnasas kala, otzas kala l'chuppah, and etc., etc. So there's a general mitzvah, all-inclusive, called v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, and then many specific elements. Or on Chol HaMoed, what we call Chol HaMoed, the Rambam has one mitzvah called Mikrei Kodesh. And then the Rambam tells you the various dimensions that are included in Mikrei Kodesh. How do I achieve this mitzvah of setting up a Chol HaMoed as a day of Kodesh? And there are many, many other examples of a mitzvah klolos that is counted as one single mitzvah, and yet there are many, many different dimensions and applications of that mitzvah. I'd like to suggest that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of studying Torah is a mitzvah klolos, and there are many different elements and many different parts to this mitzvah, and they're all integrated to form one indivisible entity called the mitzvah Talmud Torah. So what is this mitzvah klolos? How do we define it? And I think that perhaps the mitzvah klolos is mesiras haTorah, to guarantee that the Torah will be studied and transmitted from one generation to the other. And the Rambam takes all the various individual dimensions of this mitzvah and collapses them into one single entity, which is called mesiras haTorah, kiyum haTorah, passing the Torah on. All the different variations of and subcategories of this mitzvah klolos of Talmud Torah are all geared towards that mitzvah klolos to achieve the goal of guaranteeing that the Torah will not be forgotten, but rather it will be transmitted from one generation to the other. And I think if we approach the Rambam with this definition of a mitzvah klolos in mind, we can answer up the Rambam, and everything is spiffy, so to speak. It is absolutely stunning the way the Rambam structured this set of halachas. He starts by calling it Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a much more klolos thing. If he would have called it Limud HaTorah, so you would think he's referring to the study of Torah. Study of Torah doesn't guarantee the transmission of Torah. Why does the Rambam begin the Hilchas Talmud Torah with the father's obligation to teach Torah to his son? That's the essence of the mitzvah Talmud Torah. The whole story of Mesiras HaTorah begins with a father and a son. From a father and son, we expand it to a father and a grandson. From a father and a grandson, we expand it to neighbor's son, other son. But now the Rambam asks a question. How do we guarantee that there will be a possibility of transmitting the Torah? Also, the Rambam says, now that we've defined the mitzvah's transmission of Torah, whether it's father to son, father to grandson, or to someone else's son, now we have to know, how do we get to that point where there is a hechatim, so where there's a possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And the answer is, chayv olam et atzmo. He has to study Torah himself. No one taught him Torah. Then he has to study himself, David.
Well, this father was generations ago. He was the one who had to be taught by his father or by a neighbor. So the father also, in the chain, would already have learned Torah through the process of...
Correct, but now we have a broken chain. So what the Rambam now wants to address the question, everything was perfect until the chain got broken. And Yankel Berel, for some reason, was not able to teach his son Torah. So his son is lacking in Torah. And if his son is lacking in Torah, the chain is broken. He can't pass on the Torah to the next generation because he doesn't know the Torah. So the Rambam establishes the chiyuv of l'lamed es atzmo. Now the Rambam says, you know what? The Drabanans are also part of the Doraisa. I'll give you an example. The Rambam says that v'yahavtel reich kamocha is a mitzvah klolos. And what is included? Bikur cholim and nichum avelim. These are all Drabanans. Bikur Cholim is a mitzvah Drabbanan. But the Rambam incorporates it into a mitzvah klolos. Because what the Drabbanan were authorized to do is to figure out and stipulate and formulate how do we fulfill the Doraisa. We need to know, we need to be guided and taught step by step how to fulfill this. So the Rambam says, based on sugyas in all shas, that you want to fulfill the mitzvah of the Yahavtel Reich Kamocha. So you have a sick person, go visit him. You have a bereaved person, have a go console him. You have a woman who has to get married, do whichever you can to help and facilitate that she gets married. Those are all drabbanans, but they're doraisas in terms of what? The mitzvah klolos. Do you follow? So when we talk about takana derabbanans, let's say, for example, if I were talking about mikra megillah on Purim or ner Chanukah on Chanukah, those are independent entities. There, the Rambam is going to say tzivu chachamim. You have to know that this is a derabbanan. But when the Rambam is talking about a mitzvah klolos, and the derabbanan are going to establish the details and enactments in order to facilitate how you can fulfill that mitzvah, those are doraisa. it's true they were established by the Rabbanah, but their status is Doraisa because they tell me exactly how to do it. So, for example, if I want to acquire Torah knowledge, the Rambam says, so that I can transmit the Torah to the next generation, I need to divide up my day into three parts in order to cover all the bases, you know, all the disciplines of Torah. If I, for example, want to pass on the Torah to the next generation, then if need be, if that achievement, that goal cannot be achieved, then I have to pay a Malamed. Whether it means I'm paying him to teach me, if I'm mature enough on my own, or as a father, if I can't teach my son, I have to pay a higher Malamed to teach my son. So even though the Lecha Mishnah had a suffix, if you recall, about the fact that the father has to pay, he has to sign the check for the Malamed, is that Doraisa Drabbanan, I'll accept the Lecha Mishnah. Let it be Drabbanan. But it's a Doraisa in terms of the mitzvah clawless of Talmud Torah, because how are you going to transmit the Torah to the next generation if there's no one to teach your son, because you yourself can't teach the son? He's not going to teach your son because he doesn't have bread to put on the table, so you got to hire him and pay his salary. And if this be the case, then we can answer the question that all the Mepharshim ask in the Rambam: why did the Rambam say there's only one mitzvah saseh? And what about the mitzvah lo saseh pen yasur milvavcha? Then you're not allowed to forget Torah. The answer is you can't forget Torah because the Torah has to be studied and has to be transmitted, and that's all included under the one single mitzvah klolus called Talmud Torah. And if this be the case, then perhaps we can understand why the Rambam wedges Halacha Hey in the middle of this whole discussion. And in Halacha Hey, he wants to know what comes first, marriage or Torah study. The reason why the Rambam does that, I think, is beautiful now, because in terms of the transmission of Torah, we have now a sort of two primary mitzvahs in the Torah. And we have to set up a prioritization, if I pronounce that right, a din kedima, to prioritize. What are the two mitzvahs that will guarantee the continuation of Klal Yisrael? That this nation will continue to exist.
One is Talmud Torah. Sorry.
And the other one?
Tefillah?
No, is marriage. Because without marriage, again, I'm not going into distinctions between first marriage, second marriage, third marriage, that's not relevant to me. But certainly first marriage is for the purpose of period of Arivia. So the Rambam says, wait a minute, we have two mitzvahs that now, in a sense, are a tug of war, because, you know, if he gets married, maybe he won't be able to study Torah, maybe he should postpone marriage, but if he postpones marriage, he's not having children. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which will eventually be passed on to the next generation, and that's an urgent kind of mitzvah. So that's what the Rambam addresses in Halacha Hey. Then he gets to Halacha Vav, and he wants to know, okay, we've established the general guidelines, but tell me, I have a baby. He's a little boy, let's say he's a year and a half old. So at what point do I have to transmit the Torah to him? So the Rambam says, Mishiaschu l'daver. And the Gemara derives that in Kiddushin from Vishinanta, you know, from a drasha. I'm sorry, what I meant to say was the Bryson Sukkah integrates this into the whole Derabbanan, you know, constellation of Chinuch. The Rambam is not telling you that this halacha, that the child is old enough to say a few words and therefore you have to teach him Torah, that's a Doraisa. I don't know that that's a Doraisa. That's Takanas Chachamim. But it's part of the general mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because the Rabbanan are going to tell you and guide you how you're going to transmit the Torah. When is the child ready to exceed? And it's very interesting. You know what the Rambam tells you to teach him? He says, Malando Torah Tziva Lana Moshe. Morasha Kilas Yaakov. That the Torah was given to Moshe and we have to transmit it, Kilas Yaakov, to the next generation. That's the first thing you want to teach this young child. And again, even if I grant you that's a requirement which is only Drabbanan, it's in order to fulfill the essence of the mitzvah Talmud Torah, which is a mitzvah klolis doraisa, to guarantee that the Torah will be transmitted to the next generation. So if you have this page, that the paragraph that says Venira Bibur Das Harambam, He says the following. The mitzvah, when I say he, I'm talking about myself here, but the mitzvah is talmud Torah, mitzvah klolus. The Torah says that we have to guarantee that we don't forget the Torah and that we pass it down to our children, our grandchildren. The Torah wants to give us a mitzvah, the most important mitzvah of all, of Mesiras HaTorah from one generation to the other. It said Torah should not be forgotten in Israel. And with regard to this mitzvah, which the Rambam calls Talmud Torah, not Limud Torah, but Talmud Torah, because it includes so much, the mitzvah is essentially to guarantee and do whatever we have to do that there's a transmission of Torah. You take a look on the next page, he says the following, that the Rambam will integrate all the Drabbanans together with the Doraises, and the reason for that is because it's one mitzvah of Mesiras HaTorah, L'kayim es HaDoros, Kiyum HaTorah L'doros. And therefore, the Rambam says the following, who should get priority? Teaching one's son or teaching oneself? Now imagine what happens here. We're talking about a break in the chain of transmission, and now we have a person who has not studied Torah himself. Now he has a personal obligation to study Torah. He has a son who also needs. So what comes first? So take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says in Halacha Beis, the Rambam says Lama nitztave al bino uben bino lahaktin bino leben bino uben bino leben chavero. The Rambam sets up a whole hierarchy here of priorities. And basically the Rambam says the following. If you have your own Torah to study and you have your son to teach, let's say you can't do both, or you have your son and your grandson, what do you do in these cases? So the Rambam says the following. Halacha Dalet. Hoya who lilmod Torah v'yeshol ben lilmod Torah who kodem livno, he should come first. Now at this point I would have expected the Rambam to end the halacha. The Rambam clearly has addressed the issue. There shouldn't be any ifs, ands, or buts. I come before my son. Why? Because I'm earlier in the transmission of Torah. But listen to what the Rambam says. This is not an open and shut case. Im hoya b'no novonu maskil. If his son is endowed with superior intellect, and Mashe Umaskil Mashe Yilmad Yoser mi menu, in other words, he'll be able to pick up Torah again. The father is getting old, or whatever, or he's not oriented. So, who's going to do better with the Torah? What?
The son.
Is then in such a case b'no kodem. So we thought that Rambam had established an absolute rule that the father comes before the son. No. Here's a case in the scenario in which the Rambam passes that the son comes first. And why does the son get precedence here in priority? Because the Rambam says he's maskil v'nova. He's sharp. And he picks it up quickly. More than his father. More, fast paced than his father. He remembers it more than his father would remember.
He's the impostor.
Right, so he comes to it.
I think the halakha might be to hire a tutor for the son right away because his years shouldn't be lost in learning and his father can learn it on his own or with the tutor as well. Have him do it simultaneously.
No, but the problem is he only has enough money to pay one tutor. So what does he do in that case?
Hire a cheap tutor.
No, but I'm saying, let's say, he's really not from the richest guys. Today yeshiva tuition is expensive. I mean, some yeshivas offer scholarships, but let's say he's out there and he can't get a scholarship, whatever the scenario is. So the Rambam says, if his son is more capable than he is, Navonu maskil lahavin Yosef Yaviv, the Rambam says that he should take that money and spend it for a tutor to teach his son. And why? I mean, the Rambam doesn't answer this question, but we can speculate. Why would the Rambam put the son in this case prior to his own learning, to the father's learning. And what's the answer? How do you define this mitzvah that we've been dealing with in all its details?
Pass the sword down from the chain. The chain will be restored quicker and more strong.
Correct. So it's no coincidence that Rambam integrates this very fascinating halacha. It's a big chiddush. You know, I want to learn Torah myself. Again, my son is my son, but I come first. And that is the general rule. No. Says the Rambam, there's an exception to the rule. The son is more capable. Who's going to pass on the Torah? Are you going to pass on the Torah? Or your son is going to do a better job? We have to maximize Mesiris HaTorah. All part of one entity called Hilchus Talmud Torah.
Did I hear you say before that the negative commandment to not forget the Torah is included in the positive commandment to study and learn Torah?
Correct. Well, I would say it's slightly different. It's included in the mitzvah close, the general mitzvah of passing the Torah on.
So why the general mitzvah of love your neighbor like yourself? Do we have to bother then say don't steal, don't rob, don't kidnap, don't murder, don't cheat? Because they're all about love your neighbor like yourself.
Excellent question. Wow. Let me grant you one premise that I think you're right about. If a person steals from his friend deliberately, then he violates v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. That's upgrade. That I would not question. But if you're asking why do we count these separate mitzvahs of v'ahavta and lo signo and don't steal, I think the answer is because lo signo is a maisa. It relates and isolate, it singles out a particular action and its impact. It's not going to guarantee that you fulfill the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reich Kamocha. Everything here in the Rambam Perek Alf Milchus Talmud Torah is going to guarantee, if you do it right, that you are bringing to the Talmud Torah the maximum and to maximize and increase Torah in the world and Torah in its transmission to the next generation. So a person has a temptation to steal something, Chas V'Shalom. And he overcomes that temptation. Is that going to mean he loves the guy? He may not know him. He may not ever meet him. Obviously, if he has a midah of Avas Yisrael, he's going to be very hesitant or inhibited to steal something from someone else. But all those lavin that apply in interpersonal relations, they're each separate, independent actions that have been isolated and singled out as prohibited. You're right in a sense, they belong to a group of interpersonal relations, and the heading of that group would be V'ahavta L'Reich Kamocha, but V'ahavta L'Reich Kamocha means many, many different things. And each lav, I think, is a separate, independent lav. Okay, Rabbi, so you're ready for the next halach in the Rambam. In other words, what we really did was the Akadom in the Rambam. The Rambam counts Talmud Torah as one single mitzvah, and now we begin our journey. And the Rambam says, Nashim v'avodim uktanim p'turim mitalmud Torah. Avol katan oviv chayav l'lamdo Torah, shenemar v'limaditem osam es b'neichem l'daber ba. Now, having established that in three cases, three categories, there's a ptur of Talmud Torah, the Rambam goes on to say, but one of those people, one of those categories is a katan, and there is a chiyuv Talmud Torah with regard to a katan, but who's obligated? Not the son himself, because he's a katan, but rather the father. So what does the word aval mean? It's very strange because when you read the Rambam, the word aval here doesn't seem to have any meaning here. Because again, we're talking about people who don't have to study Torah. And then you're saying aval, what do you mean aval? You know, if you would have established that you know you have to teach Torah, but you don't have to teach Torah to so-and-so, then it would make sense that the Rambam would appropriately use the word aval. But what's the Rambam doing here with the word Aval? So let's take a step backwards and talk about Noshin for a minute. How do you translate Noshin Pturim Talmud Torah? What would you say is the simple pshat in Noshin Pturim Talmud Torah?
Women are not obliged to
study Torah. Ah. What I'd like to try to prove to you is that Noshin Pturim Talmud Torah means two things. It means, A, that women don't have to study Torah, but it means much more than that. That women don't have to be taught Torah. And you'll ask me, isn't this unnecessary and superfluous? I mean, obviously, if a woman doesn't have to study Torah, I don't have to teach her Torah. Well, I'm going to show you an example of someone who doesn't have to study Torah, yet we're obligated to teach him Torah. What's going to be that example? Who fits this description? He doesn't have to study Torah, but we have to teach him Torah.
Cotton.
Beautiful. So the Rambam here is setting up a contrast between Noshim and Ketanim. In Noshim, the Ptur is all-inclusive. It means it's straight down the line. Not only is a woman exempt from studying Torah, we're exempt from teaching her Torah. Not so in the case of a Ketanim. Although it's true, the Katan doesn't have to study Torah, but nevertheless we have to teach him Torah. Aviv chayv lelamdo Torah. That's the Aval here. Now how do I know that Noshim includes both? Maybe Noshim only means they don't have to study Torah, but we should be teaching them Torah. I have a young daughter, maybe I have to teach her Torah. She doesn't have to study Torah, but I have to guarantee that she knows Torah, that she's taught Torah. So we're going to look in the Kesef Mishnah. Okay, let's open up to the Kesef Mishnah. I think it's the first Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Talmud Torah, so it's pretty easy to find it. He says, "But Parakamah the Kedushin, I'm reading the Ein Olam Chayv Lelamed Esbito Torah." Basically, the focal point, the emphasis on the father. The father's not obligated to teach his daughter Torah. And how do we know this? So the Gemara establishes that we derive it from a possible Yimaditem Osam Es B'nechem. You have to teach your sons Torah. That's how the Gemara is interpreting it. V'lo Es B'nosechem. Now, it's very interesting because it sounds like we're skipping a step over here. You're completely sidetracking the main issue here. Does a woman have to study Torah? The Kesef Mishnah is addressing, based on the Gemara Kedushin, a different question. Do we have to teach our Torah? But wait a second. What about the most basic issue, the more fundamental issue? Does she herself have to study Torah? So let's go on in the Kesef Mishnah. He says, with the Sof Perek Sheni Liksubis, Amrinon Di Osur Sheyil Yilamed Es Avdo Torah. A person is not allowed to teach Torah to his Eved. Now, why can't a person teach Torah to his Eved? Well, first let me ask you a more simple question. What kind of Eved are we talking about? You know, there are two types of Avodah. Yeah, we must be talking about an Eved Knan.
Yeah.
Now, we're not allowed to teach Goyim Torah. Yeah, that's a sugya unto itself, but that's just simple, on a superficial level. An Eved is called an Eved Knan, so his status is that of a god. So therefore the Rambam says you're not allowed to teach your Eved Knani Torah.
The Eved Ivri obliged to learn Torah?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Eved Ivri is like hiring somebody. But now he says the Amrinam Suba Parakama the Kedushin. The Minatibli Manatam Osan Espinechem Uksid the Duchafinibli Manatam Osan Ushvartam Lasosan Yalfinon Shekol Shachiri Mitsuvim Lalamdo Mitsuba Lalamidatsmo. The Kosha Eachir Mitsuvim Lalamdo Eina Mitsuba Lalamidatsmo. Who's obligated in the study of Torah? He who generates an obligation, meaning that others are obligated to teach him Torah. Kol shacheri mitzuva lelamdo, mitzuva lelivon is atzma. Now, if we've established the following two premises. Premise number one is that the father doesn't have to teach his daughter Torah because it says, es p'neichem v'los p'nosechem. Premise number two is that anyone who others have to teach him, he has to learn himself. If others do not have to teach him, he's not obligated to learn himself. Then, therefore, premise number three, or conclusion, I should say, would be that women are not obligated to study Torah themselves. Why? Because we've already established that we don't have to teach them Torah. And anyone who others do not have to teach us, he himself is exempt from his own obligation to study Torah. So this is going to explain then that when it says Noshim Pturim Talmud Torah, it really means two things. Number one, we don't have to teach her Torah. And number two, she doesn't have to study Torah. Because if anyone who's not, who doesn't generate an obligation to others teach them, doesn't have to study Torah themselves. Now we say Aval Katan, who's clearly not obligated to study Torah himself, nevertheless, Avim Chayov Torah. So here we have the paradox of Katan, because Katan really undermines everything we've said about Noshim Vavonim. It abrogates the rules that we've set up, because our rule was that these two chiyuvim go together. They're interdependent. The chiyuv of others to teach him, and the chiyuv for him to teach himself. But that's not true in the case of Katan. That's where the Aval comes in. The Rambam makes a big deal about Aval, because he wants to show you that the case of Katan defies our principle. Because in the case of Katan, we have to teach him, but he's not obligated to teach himself. So that's the Gemalah Gechidish that the Rambam says here in the opening halacha. Aval. Yeah, great, I'm sorry.
To teach himself, does that mean without a father being present, or does that mean to actually learn the lesson his father's teaching him? Or just learning. Just
excellent. Learn. It means both. It means he can't just sit there like a dumbbell, you know, and shut his ears off and play with his smartphone, you know, texting while his father's trying to teach him Torah. He's obligated to be a good student and learn Torah. At the same time, if his father's not teaching him Torah, he has to see to it that somebody else teach him Torah. And even if it means he has to shell out from his pocket, he'll have to do so. But what we have in the case of Katan is a yotzei dofen. It's an exception to the rule rather than the rule. Because in the case of Katan, the Rambam is going to establish that even though the Katan doesn't have to study Torah himself, others, in this case the father, will have to teach him Torah. We would have said, well, if the father has to teach him Torah, then he himself has to learn Torah. No. The Rambam says he's part.
But when the father teaches him, he has an obligation to listen and pay attention and learn the lesson. Not like just be ambivalent and tune him out.
Correct. Well, let's see this inside. He says, Hare di ein noshim bechlal akra divlimanitem osom es b'neichem. So therefore the father doesn't have to teach her Torah, and therefore she's not included in v'limanitem osam u'shmaitem lasosam, which is a source for a person's own personal obligation to learn. And there are two dinim now, they're included in the Rambam's Noshim Pturim Talmud Torah. Again, it's an amazing derech halima that you read something in the Rambam and you think it's one din, but really it conceals two dinim. And now we can understand the word aval in the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that even though these two chiyuvim go together, they overlap, they're interwoven, and therefore the woman is obligated, to the same extent that her father's not obligated to teach her, she's not obligated to teach herself. It's here in the case of Katan, the Rambam has an aval. Aval becomes the exception to the rule, because although he himself is not obligated to study Torah, his father is obligated to teach him. Now, at this point, we're going to raise a really wild question. How do you know that the Katan is not obligated to teach himself Torah? After all, we were saying until now that if others have to teach you, you have to teach yourself. If no one else has to teach you, you don't have to teach yourself. Well, a Katan, the father has to teach him. But who says it's only that the father has to teach him? Maybe he has to teach himself. They say that Vilna Gaon at the age of 6, he knew Kol HaShas, or whatever they said about him. And everything they said about him is true, by the way. No, he was a phenomenon. So we're asking a radical, basic question. We're going back to basics. The Rambam says that a katan is potter from Talmud Torah, but his father has to teach him. Who says? We've always set up an interdependence. You have to study Torah, he has to teach you Torah, he has to teach you Torah, you have to study Torah. And now we're saying no. The father has to teach him Torah, but the son doesn't. And David, you would ask a logistical question. How do you obligate the father to teach the son Torah when the son is interested in playing football? You know, he's not listening to the Halavai football. That's really a kosher thing, you know. Shouldn't we be obligating the son just to facilitate the ability of the father to pour Torah? Because if I'm pouring it to you, unless you have a clean kibul and a receptacle, you're not going to... So guess what? I found two of the great commentaries on the Rambam actually address this question. And they each respectively came up with a different answer to this question. Which is fascinating. Now the reason just I want to tell you the logistics, how am I able to get access to these forums? So my sister works in the library here, so she was able to help me. In the back of the Rambam edition, the Frankel edition of the Rambam that you have, is called the Sefer HaMafteach. And the Sefer HaMafteach is a product of an amazing amount of research, of teams and teams of researchers. So they have access to Sfarim that I never heard of in my life. And one of them is called the Be'eros Mayim, which you'll see on the top of your next page. His name was Rabbi Yitzchak ben Eliyahu Eben Shangi. Sounds like Shanghai. Maybe he was originally from China. I don't know. Definitely a Sfaradi. And he wrote the Wells of Water. So I don't know why I'm so thirsty. We're studying the Wells of Torah. I shouldn't... Okay. Shavasa v'Tamos. So he says the following. The opening word in the Be'eros HaMayim to answer the question, how do we know that a katan is not obligated in Torah study, is Yalfinam. What does the word Yalfinam mean? But what is it? I need to say in Derech HaLimud, when you see the word Yalfinam in our lingo, what does that terminology indicate to you?
It's a source.
It's a source for it as opposed to what? A svara. It's not a svara, it's the alfusa. We're going to soon see in the next paragraph the Mishnah Kesef. He says you don't need a source for this. Because what is the rule as far as cotton in general is concerned, universally, with regard to all mitzvahs?
Potter.
So why do you have to find the alfusa? That's what the Mishnah Kesef is going to argue, to prove that a cotton is potter from Talmud Torah, it's potter from all mitzvahs. But the Be'eros Mayim is on a different thinking track because he thinks that this should be the exception to all mitzvahs. Here the katan has to be obligated because there's an interdependence between others who have to teach you and your obligation to teach yourself. How do we know that a woman is not obligated to teach herself? Because her father doesn't have to teach her. But in the case of a katan where the father has to teach the katan, so the logical conclusion would be that the katan has to teach himself. Comes along the Be'eros Mayim and he says, I have a yalfusa. And by the way, I looked high and low for this Yalfusa, I didn't find it anywhere. The one who created this Yalfusa was the Be'eros Mayim, because he's so hard pressed to try to understand the premise of the Rambam that a katan doesn't have to study Torah, he has to find the Yalfusa for that. Mind boggling, you know? What you and I would have considered doesn't require Yalfusa because a katan is not chayv in any mitzvahs. Comes along the Be'eros Mayim and says, name! I believe that a katan should be chayim in the midst of Talmud Torah because his father has to teach him. Ah, but I came up the Alfusa. What's the Alfusa? What's called a miut in the Torah. Miut means when you exempt someone, you exclude someone, because the pasuk says, "V'limaditem osam es b'neichem." Who has to teach this katan? Osam. Osam means the father. If the Torah only obligated the father, the Torah went out of its way to say v'limaditem osam, right? V'limaditem osam, v'limaditem osam es b'neichem. to impose an exclusive chiyuv on the father. The chiyuv to teach himself, which in general for a mature person is derived from limaditim osam and shvaitim lasosam, which we would have thought is a chiyuv that applies to both a gadol and a katan, but the Torah said limaditim osam is b'necha, that you have to teach the son. The chiyuv is the obligation is incumbent completely, exclusively on the father, but not on the katan. However, the next paragraph, the Mishnah Kesef, his name was Rabbi Chaim David ben Baruch Shiriro, he asks, how do you know that a katan is part of the mitzvah Talmud Torah? And he answers, lo matzinu b'shum mitzvah mitzvahs shechayev katan. And we've spoken about this over and over again. In the Derech HaLimud, we need a din klali or a din mesuyah. So what kind of din is the ptur of a katan from Talmud Torah? Is it a din klali or a din mesuyah? According to the Kesef, the Mishnah Kesef, it's a din klali. But according to the Beis Mayim, it's not a din klali. It's a specific din in Hilchas Talmud Torah. Because basically, fundamentally, the child should be obligated in studying Torah. And it's not like the universal rule. But we have Xeris HaKosav of Yalfusa. But if not for that Yalfusa, the Katan would be Chayev in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So in the paragraph number 3 on this page, it says, Yesh Lechalik Bein Trei Shitos. There's a basic fundamental difference between the Beis Hamayim on the one hand and the Mishnah Kesef on the other hand. If we're going to say that a katan is potter because of a miut, the Torah says limadit Moses b'nechem, that the father is obligated but the child is exempt, then we're talking about a ptur that's anchored in the parsha of Talmud Torah. In this very parsha of limadit Moses b'nechem, the Torah has established that a katan doesn't have to study Torah. But if it's a din klali, and it's derived from the fact that a katan is potter from all mitzvahs haTorah, that's not halach in Talmud Torah. That's just a general halach. In other words, if I were to ask you the following, what generates the ptur of a katan from Talmud Torah? Is it Talmud Torah, or is it general mitzvahs haTorah? Is it a din midinei Talmud Torah, or is it a din klali of all mitzvahs haTorah? According to the Beis Mayim, it's a Talmud Torah halacha. In the parsha of the Talmud Torah, the Torah went out of its way to tell you that a son doesn't have to learn Torah. But in the Mishnah Kesef's perspective, it's not a din in Hilchas Talmud Torah, it's a din in Kol HaTorah Kula, that a katan is part of the mitzvahs. The Rambam codifies this halacha of a katan part of the Talmud Torah right here at the beginning of Hilchas Talmud Torah. It sounds like the Rambam is emphasizing a Talmud Torah halacha, which would lead me towards the Beis Mayim's perspective on this Rambam. But on the other hand, you know, it's a little bit odd that the Torah would have to go out of its way to tell you that a katan is potter in a mitalmid Torah when a katan is potter from all mitzvahs haTorah. But then again, I'm tempted to draw that conclusion that a katan should be chayiv in Talmud Torah from the fact that the father is chayiv to teach him Torah. So if you take a look at the paragraph that starts, the Hine Kosav HaRamba, the Raman Alocha Beis writes the following: Mitzvah Kol Chacham VeChacham Yisrael Lamed is called a Talmidim Afal Bishenem Bonov Shenemar Veshinantom Levanech. So the Mishnah Kesef that we mentioned earlier wants to know, when I have an obligation to teach your son Torah, do I have to teach him even if he's a katan? Or only if he's a gadol? In other words, at what age, we know at what age a father has to teach his son, but at what age does a friend, or, you know, somebody who's not related, have to teach him Torah? So the Mishnah Kesef wants to be medayik from the Lashon HaRama. The Rama writes, Aval katan aviv chayav lelamdo Torah. That in the case of a katan, who's obligated to teach this young boy Torah? Aviv. But no one else has to teach him Torah. What a diuk in the Rambam. I mean, it's unbelievable. He sees something in the Rambam that you and I wouldn't have seen in a million years. The Rambam writes, Aval katan aviv chayav lelamdo Torah. Who has to teach this katan Torah? Aviv. But no one else. I don't get it. That's not a valid diyuk in the Rambam. The Rambam hasn't even established yet that somebody has to teach someone else's son Torah. That comes later on in Halacha Beis. In Halacha Aleph, the Rambam only tells you about the chiyuv of the father to teach his son Torah. So the Rambam says that even though his son is a katan, the father nevertheless is obligated to teach his son Torah. He doesn't say a word about someone else teaching Torah until he gets to Halacha Beis. So the Mishnah Kesser wants to be a dayik from the fact that it says that Aviv Chayav Lamdo Torah. Of course Aviv Chayav Lamdo Torah. That's the entire subject of the Rambam. And the Rambam wants to emphasize that Aviv is Chayav Lamdo is Pidot Torah even though his ben is a katan. And later on he's going to say even from the ripe old age of Yochel Adavit. But to say that we're going to be medayik in this Rambam, that the Rambam holds that when I'm teaching your son Torah, I'm not obligated because your son is only a katan. It's a wild deal. And if you take a look, the Rambam writes in Halacha Beis, mitzvah kol chacham lelamed es kol atalmidim. What does that mean, kol atalmidim?
All the students?
Even? Ketanim. The Rambam doesn't say mitzvah kol chacham lelamed es hagdolim talmidim. You know, they're already 13 years old. The Rambam says it's kol talmidim. So I would suggest the following possibility, that the Rambam added the word kol talmidim to emphasize that even though the child is a katan, again we're talking about my obligation to teach your son Torah, I'm obligated to teach all the talmidim, including your son who's a katan. And it means that just like a father has to teach his son Torah, even though his son is a katan, so too, if I'm teaching your son Torah, I have to teach him Torah, even though he's a katan. But, in truth, there's another way of learning this Rambam. When the Rambam says, Kol HaTalmidim, he might be referring to the moral level of the Talmud, the moral stature of the Talmud. Because the Mishnah at the beginning of Avos says, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. And that's what the Rabbi means, you have to teach Kol HaTalmidim. What's Harbe? Harbe, says Rav Zera in Masech Tachulin, includes even a Talmud She'eno Hagun. What does it mean, Eino Hagun? He's not really morally upright. Do you follow what I mean? He's not Hagun. And the Rambam is telling you, nevertheless, you have to teach him Torah. All right, we'll pick this up in Mirz Hashem tomorrow. Is this interesting for you? Yeah. And again, I really think it's Derech HaLimud. You know, we're getting Din Klali and Din Mesuyam, and we're getting Diyukim in the Rambam and the order of the Rambam and why the Rambam counts one mitzvah. This is Mamish and Derech HaLimud.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. So it means when the Rambam says kol talmidim, it means even ketanim. Or no, maybe it means even a talmid she'eno hagun. So I don't know. I don't know what the kol talmidim really means.
By the way, I changed my plan. I got a couple more.